There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here ends the reading from the first chapter of John. My message this day is called Herald. A small child in a Christmas pageant spoke to the youth pastor during a rehearsal break. What are real angel halos made of? Are they made of tinsel too?" The pastor ran through her mind the lessons of seminary and said, "No, I think they're made of the light of God." The little girl was visibly relieved. "That's good," she said. "I sure couldn't stand this itchy thing on my head forever and ever." Even though little kids often think herald is the name of that harking angel, a herald is a messenger, one who announces news on behalf of another. One might be the herald of a king, a general, or a rich landowner. Upon questioning, John the Baptist clearly stated he was merely a herald. He assured them he was not a prophet, not the Messiah, or the reincarnation of the great prophet Elijah. John said he was just a voice out crying in the wilderness, the voice promised by the prophet Isaiah. While minimizing his own role, John warned them that the powerful one, the one they had been waiting for, was already among them. Already among them. Might there be a herald among us? Might there be a modern prophet in our midst? Afro-Christian scholar Yolanda Pierce wrote this week a column called "If Advent is Real." Pierce declares how she loves the waiting season of Advent, how all hearts and minds are with Mary, that young, unmarried, expectant mother. Imagine her fears about social ostracism and the path her child might take. Pierce asks, how did Mary deal with the daily dance between an all-consuming love for her child and an all-consuming fear of the world into which her child would be born? Pierce brings her pondering to our modern world. Consider the mother of Tamir Rice, Samaria Rice. Her 12-year-old son was shot and killed less than 2 seconds after the Cleveland police officer pulled up. Tamir's 14-year-old sister was handcuffed and placed in the back of the police car, and Mother Samaria herself was threatened with arrest at the scene. Pierce asks us all to wonder what it would mean if Christians took the Advent story seriously. What would it mean if we made Mary real? If we fleshed out her vulnerable minority status? If we thought about her culture's views on unwed mothers? And we really believed God chose that innocent, obedient daughter of Abraham to carry Jesus into the world. She writes, "If Advent is real to us, then the unwed teenage mother, or the homeless veteran, or the crack addict, or the prostitute, or the otherwise undesirable person in our society is often the one chosen as the bearer of God's grace and mercy. If Advent is real to us, then prophets, heralds, like John the Baptist, are being born to declare that a new day approaches. But we ignore them because we don't want to believe that prophets can arise from a Ferguson or a Cleveland. We don't expect that prophets will wear sagging pants and be armed with cell phone cameras. If Advent is real to us, then we must acknowledge Mary as a mother who knew that the birth of her son came along with a warrant for his death. And so we grieve with all the mothers of black and brown children who must give their children lessons about death before they've even had a chance to live. Yet, we do not want it to be real, do we? Mary is much safer as a lovely plaster doll posed adoringly over a glowing plaster Jesus. Plaster Mary does not speak with anger and bad grammar. Plaster Mary does not wear 3-inch fake nails, oddly dyed hair extensions, or a t-shirt with a childhood picture of Jesus on her chest. But if we are Christians, we believe her fears and her tears deep in our hearts. That adoration on her face as she held her baby boy, we have seen it. Friends and family, no matter the details, we know the mother of Jesus held her baby at her breast in love and wonder, because that is what mothers do in Palestine, in Syria, in Ferguson, in Nigeria, in Tiffin. So glad that Doug Collar told me about Reverend Harkins bringing to St. John's the drama about a black family hoping to purchase a home where only whites had been allowed. Otherwise, it might be really easy to say, not in Tiffin, or only this crazy pastor would ask for biblical justice for the modern world. Facebook reminds us that the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting was 2 years ago today. Oh, you say, maybe these things happen, but it's not polite to bring them up in church. We want good news on Sunday morning. We want to hear about the cooing baby in his mother's loving arms. Yeah, me too. I do not want to hear about the hundreds of deaths at the hands of police that were not even reported last year. And yes, we can honor police officers for their courage and their duty while holding them accountable for justice. As voters, as citizens, we share the responsibility for torture done in our behalf. Now we know, and we need to tell our representatives, no, Americans, Christians, do not torture anyone. And who is impolite enough to bring inconvenient truth to the church in the first place? That baby boy whose birth we celebrate said he was sent by God. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. After baptism, his very first appearance in the synagogue at Nazareth, he spoiled a peaceful Sabbath service by bringing up oppressed people, disabled people, and prisoners. An unpleasant load, to be sure. But the Lord's favor has always been all about the smelly, the possessed, the broken, the ones with bad grammar and angry ways. Way back 1,000 years before Jesus, The prophet Micah explained that God was not a fan of showy offerings or solemn assemblies. From Micah 6:8, the Lord has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Not God's job, ours. This life of faith would be so much easier if we could simply just show up each Sabbath and go through the motions. However, this is just where we worship and learn. Real faith is lived out loud, ensuring justice, giving kindness, and listening humbly to Jesus, to his mother, to those who suffer, those without hope. And we cannot bear this hard work alone. We embrace each other each Sunday. We share mercy, justice, and kindness with Christians in our community and around the world. Recently, I read an article written by an atheist walking alongside the clergy in Ferguson, Missouri. He was impressed enough to write this article, impressed by these men and women of faith. They worked long hours listening, soothing, feeding, and tending the angry and the hurting. They worked long hours. Those pastors risked their lives, putting themselves between violent factions, always reasonable, always peaceful, always seeking justice and making peace. The atheist was in awe of the faithful. Does that remind us what God's witnesses do? Remember the martyrs 1,800 years ago, the way they loved God no matter what, brought thousands more in faith to God through Christ. We may be the only Bible they ever read. Eventually, they imprisoned and executed him. John was grilled by the authorities, to whom he replied, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." Way back in Genesis, God announced that every human, male and female, was created in the image of God. Everyone is a child of God, bearing the image of our Creator, at least a little bit. You know, the chin, around the eyes. Just as it has been awful hearing the news these last few days and weeks, shooting deaths, torture specifics, Sandy Hook, weeping Marys, it's no fun to hear this in worship. Weekly we sing our praises and pledge our allegiance to the one who shouted at the religious experts, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Matthew 23. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio spoke about his fear for his son. De Blasio is white. His wife is black. His children are brown. Mary lived that fear that her son was marked not by guilt, not by anything he did, but by his birth. Pray for the Sandy Hook parents this day and all the Marys who mourn. Some of you already feel God's tug, that call upon your heart to do justice, to live the righteousness of Jesus. If you want company, let me know. We will bring you together to take action, to live out your calling. Maybe torture in your name is more than you can bear. Perhaps the fact that Ohio spends more on prisons than on education weighs on your conscience. Maybe you will seek interracial conversation and understanding. What is heavy on your heart this day? As promised, he came. As promised, he will come again. The Spirit of God is upon us. Angels walk beside us bearing tinsel or God's light. Never are we alone in our fears, in our tears, in our joy, or even when we step out of line and act as a herald, practicing justice, making straight the paths, preparing the way of our Lord. Amen.